Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We hope you're ready for an awesome weekend. We're kicking it off right now with some great Disney talk, talking about how Pandora changes things for all of your future Walt Disney World vacations. First, let's hear a word from our sponsor. That includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time for the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line vacation, work with the professional, passionate agents over at the Magic for Less. They have tons of training. They know the Disney product. They travel to all these destinations time and time again. They have a passion for the product, and they want to make sure that you have the most amazing vacation each and every time you head to your Disney destination. And of course, they're going to get you the best deal possible. And by doing so, they check each and every existing reservation every morning and rebook those when available on new offers. Check them out today. Drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free, no obligation quote, and you and I are going to be working together on that next Disney vacation. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1209 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. I hope that you're having a great wrap to the week. It's time for the weekend. It's time for some fun. Nothing better to do than to talk some Disney. And we have a fun discussion prepared for you today. So joining me to dive into this topic that is going to be much better on a podcast than in a text thread message, yes, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
Just getting ready to have a great weekend. That's pretty much what's going on. So have a good weekend planned.
You know what? I get to go to the Cardinals game tonight. It's against the Giants, and it's 87 throwback mystery jersey night. And Mallory dances on the field before the show.
Awesome. That's exciting.
That's very cool.
Yeah, that's exciting. Very cool. You know, half our team will be in the minor leagues by then.
But I hope you get a cool jersey.
Yeah. So. I love those retro jerseys. But the thing is, I've gotten two jerseys this year, Piscotty and Ledmus Diaz, both in the minors currently. So
no.
I'm the curse, yes. Yes. I get your jersey, you're down in AAA. It's just how it's going.
That's
anyway,
right.
No. Sorry. Baseball talk. Let's get to Pam Forrester. She's the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is a team. They got the Pirates, and they're kind of like the Cardinals this year. Everybody in the National League Central is pretty pathetic. How's it going, Pam? Let's don't talk any more baseball.
It's going great. And I think that you might be doing a little bit of false advertising, leading our guests on perhaps here a little bit, because you said the show, we prepared for you.
Yeah.
That kind of implies like we prepared.
Yeah, we don't prepare.
I'm just saying.
Well, we talked about it in a text message, so that's
sort of.
I know, but prepared like seems like more than maybe a text.
Right.
I mean, I was texting over orange chicken at Panda Express. So, I mean, how much preparation can that be? But you know what? That's some of my greatest thoughts come over orange chicken. I'm just saying, Malcolm over in the UK can attest to that fact. Orange chicken is brain food. So anyway,
look. Wedway Radio.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have binders.
No, we're definitely not doing that kind of preparedness.
Yeah, they have binders. All right, so let's talk about the topic. Today we are going to address the Pandora problem. And by speaking about, you know, when we talk about the Pandora problem, we're not talking about anything that is wrong with the land or the attractions there. It's amazing. But what I discovered when we were down a few weeks back is that, and I don't know if this is a bad thing or not. I don't think it's a bad thing, but I just want to have the discussion with Pam and Ricky. And I want you guys that are joining us here live on Facebook to chime in so we can get your comments here on the screen and share them here on the podcast. Is that I noticed that we had a struggle trying to decide how to fit Pandora into our typical touring plan, because we're comfortable with how we do things, and things haven't changed that much in the last 10 years as to how we go about a week-long vacation. So, you know, we'll have what we typically do is we'll have a morning in each of the four theme parks, you know, scheduled, and then we'll make it to where we'll hop to a different park that day, but then we'll make sure that we're in every park in the evening as well. So we won't stay at the Magic Kingdom from rope drop till the fireworks at the night, but what'll happen is one day we'll schedule a morning Magic Kingdom day and stay there till lunch. And then later in the trip, we'll schedule a day where we hop to the Magic Kingdom in the evening, have dinner, and then we just do evening stuff. We ride rides, see the fireworks, and so forth at night. So we do that for all the four theme parks. But the thing is you really got to rethink things now with Pandora, because without Fast Passes, you absolutely have to be there at Rope Drop if you want to do things like Flights of Passage or the Navi River Journey. Also, when you have Fast Passes, you got to consider that they're tiered, so you can't have both. So even if you have one or the other, that's 2 days to see both attractions. Plus, you want to see Pandora at night. You know, that's one of the highlights of the land. It's pretty amazing at night. So you really have a lot of things to consider. And when you shorten the trip, when you bring a trip in from 7 days to 5 days to 4 days to 3 days, now you're making very tough choices as to, do I see Pandora at night? Do I see Illuminations? Do I go see the Star Wars fireworks? What about Happily Ever After? You got a lot of things to consider. Plus, you have the Santuli Canteen, so you have a place to eat where you might not eat somewhere that you liked in the past. These are all good things. This is not a negative show at all. This is a great problem to have, but it's something that I think is worth the consideration of sitting down and talking about here on a show, because I think if you consider all these things before you go down, and even when you're, you know, 180 days out making your rough draft of what your trip could be, I think this is something to consider. So, Ricky, I've kind of laid some things out here on the table. What do you think about this? When Pandora, because we've all been down now since Pandora's been around.
Right.
And I know that we struggle, because I know that we went to the Animal Kingdom 6 different times.
Oh my. This yes, past okay. trip.
But a lot of times we were there for only 2 hours, you know, because we did Pandora and we left. We had done the whole park a couple times, but we went over just for Fast Passes. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, I understand completely what you're saying, especially because for us, you know, we're taking 3 to 4 day trips. And usually our last day is usually shortened because, I mean, we're driving it, you know, home. So, you know, we leave by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So, for us, that makes it even more difficult because, you know, we have to plan that in with it as well. So I think you're right. Adding, Pandora and Animal Kingdom, you've got everything that they've got going on at night. Adding all that into the mix is really an interesting problem to have. And I think, you know, actually it's kind of ironic that you brought this up, because Brian and I were sort of having a very similar conversation, actually this weekend, which is very strange. And he's the one who brought it up actually, but it was about, you know, about touring the parks. And, you know, yeah, we're going to give a full day to the Magic Kingdom, of course, because, you know, we want to be there from morning to night and see the parks, you know, park all the way through. And, you know, we'll of course usually be in Epcot from morning to night as well, you know, once again, see the park all the way through. But really, it's been interesting with the Pandora problem, and especially for us, because we do stay off-site. So I can't make my Fast Passes at 60 days, which means that I'm kind of stuck sometimes with when I get a Fast Pass. So a lot of times, I'm terrible. A lot of times, I won't even make my Fast Pass at 30 days. So I'm making it at maybe 15 days out or 10 days out when I remember, oh yeah, I have that trip planned, which I know sounds really snotty of me. But especially because I get to go down there so much, being as close as I am. But you do have to kind of prioritize, you know, how you do the parks. And so usually we'll end up having, I have to make the decision, because as of right now, of course, Hollywood Studios to me is a half day park. So that means, what am I going to prioritize? And I think, you know, Pandora and Disney's Animal Kingdom is definitely something that I have to think about now with all of it.
Yeah, you know, I think you make a good point about the Fast Passes, because I will tell you that when it came to our July trip, I was making my Fast Passes 60 days out at 7 a.m., mm-hmm. which I do not typically do, but I knew that I wanted to get on Flights of Passage. I knew that I wanted to experience the Navi River Journey, and I wanted to see Pandora, but I'm not one who wants to wait in a long queue. I mean, I know people say that it's really neat and it's worth it. The attraction is, we could talk about Flights of Passage here in just a bit, but you make a good point that this is something that you can't decide on when the wheels hit, you know, your airplane wheels hit the ground at Orlando International.
Right. This Which is normally what I would end up doing, to be perfectly honest.
But so. I mean, I think that's things why we need to have this discussion, because we want everybody to have an amazing Disney vacation. You pay a lot of money, you look forward to it for months or if not years to get down there, and you want to experience it the best you can. So let me throw this over to Pam. So Pam, you know, the last couple trips you've been down there, Pandora's in the equation. So how have things changed for you?
So I will say that we are one that tend to typically do a park in the morning, take a break in the afternoon, head somewhere in the evening. And in that morning park, depending on how long we're planning on staying, I'm perfectly happy to go ahead and save my fast passes to the park we're going to later in the day. And the reason being is that typically when you're right there at Rope Drop and, you know, things open up right there, you really don't need your Fast Pass Plus during that time. Now, I know there are varying ways of looking at this, because if you do use your Fast Pass Plus early in the morning, then you can get a rolling Fast Pass and things like that. But we go frequently enough that there aren't things that I feel like, you know, I sometimes I actually like waiting in the queue, which is something that I'll talk about a little bit more when we do Flights of Passage. But like Pirates of the Caribbean, like whenever I use my Fast Pass Plus for that attraction in particular, I feel like I'm missing out on part of the experience, because I love that queue. It's just, I always feel like I notice something different every time I'm there. It's just fun. You hear the music the whole time you're waiting in line. If you're there in the summer, it's a nice break because it's air conditioned. And you know, when you think about all those things. Also, the other strategy I kind of use is that I am, you know, during those times, there'll be a time like, say, I go to the Magic Kingdom in the morning and I don't have Fast Pass Plus, then I'll go there another time in the evening where I do have Fast Pass Plus. So in using those kind of strategies, kind of, you know, switching on and off, I've really been able to work Pandora in well, because if we're going first thing in the morning, I typically won't make my Fast Pass for then and we'll go right to it, or I will make my Fast Pass for then and then use the rolling Fast Pass strategy at a different park later on. Or if we're going there in the evening, then I'll be able to see Rivers of Light and I'll make my Fast Pass Plus for one of the Pandora attractions. So that's how I've been able to fit it in.
Okay, so think back to when you were there in July. Okay, so that was kind of more the vacation. I know that you guys went down for the launch, but I mean, that was the focus of why you were there. But moving forward, when it's the entire Walt Disney World experience, Pam, do you remember, like, I remember at least two or three times we went to Animal Kingdom because we wanted to see Pandora. It wasn't that we wanted to go to Animal Kingdom as an entire theme park, which there's nothing wrong with that. We went like two or three days and did everything else. The safari, Everest, you know, we saw Rivers of Light one night. We did Pandora. But I mean, the focus was, okay, today I got Flights of Passage. We got to go over there. But then we wanted to go to Epcot, or we wanted to do something else for lunch. You know, it was a ride over there, spend 2 hours and come back. Did that happen for you more than once or one time? Or do you remember?
It may have happened, but I won't say that that's abnormal from how I tour anyways. You know what I mean? That, like, I'm not going to, we're going to do that anyways. We rarely, like, without park hoppers, my family wouldn't be able to function. We hop almost every day. We're in more than two parks. I mean, at least two parks almost all the time. And that's just a function of wanting to be able to do that. I make sure that I see this thing here, or this is new here, or whatever. So I feel like we do that a lot. And I would also say probably the way that the three of us tour is very different than the way that people who only go, let's say, once a year, once every other year, once every 3 years. I know there are people out there like that. So anyways, but think about that. They're going to be spending maybe two full days at Animal Kingdom just to be able to see everything. Because a lot of the attractions at Animal Kingdom take an extended period of time.
True.
The safari, to walk through everything. So I totally understand what you're saying, but I will say, you know, Steve and I are perfectly happy heading over to Pandora in the evening, spending a few hours there, and then calling, you know, being like, that was it, because that was fun. It's so pretty at night. It's worth it. So.
Okay. So you mentioned the first time or the less frequent traveler to Walt Disney World. And I want to talk about that person, because that's probably at least half of our audience. You know, we got a lot of folks that are very lucky to get down there frequently, but, you know, a lot of us don't either. Ricky, what do you think about that? I mean, what's the strategy now? Because you do want to see Pandora at night. You may want to experience Rivers of Light. You know, do you, like Pam said, you're going to do at least 2 days in Animal Kingdom if possible, because that way you can get, you know, you could get the Navi River journey one day. You could get Flights of Passage another. You know, you got Rivers of Light to consider. I mean, what is the strategy in your eyes as far as somebody who doesn't get there so often and it's like, I can get it next time or I'll see it in a week, you know?
Yeah. So I think that one of the biggest things is to make sure that you have either one full day at a park planned, or you have, you know, kind of like what you do, Mike, is half a day and then break and then another park the rest of the other half of the day. I think that that's a really good strategy for those who are maybe not as frequent as all three of us and, you know, some of the other listeners, because, you know, that way you have that full day. You have that day kind of set in mind. Okay, this is what I'm doing today. I'm going to spend the whole day doing this park. And actually, kind of ironically enough, that's sort of how I've been going forward with my park touring is I will spend a full day in a park, or at the very least, you know, at least a half of the day. And obviously I don't take breaks, so I will go, you know, from park to park and I won't leave. So I'll spend the whole entire day at the Magic Kingdom, or in this case, I'll spend, you know, 3/4 of the day at Animal Kingdom doing, you know, my Pandora Fast Pass. I'll probably, you know, either wait until the evening to do the other one, or I will go there first thing in the morning, which y'all know I'm not going to do that. So, but that would be, you know, somebody else should do, you know, get there first thing in the morning, to do the other one. I would say that, you know, generally we did, Navi River Journey before the park closed, on the last trip. And, you know, it said that it had like a 75 minute wait, and it was legitimately like 5 minutes. So they were definitely overinflating the time at that point. So, you know, that's something to consider as well. Now, we did get in line. We were thinking, oh, okay, well, it's almost closed for the regular guests. You know, right now they're still doing the extra magic hours for, you know, people staying on site in the evening. But, you know, we were staying off site, so obviously we're going to be kicked out after, you know, a certain time period. So we were like, okay, we will just get in line. You know, it's the end of the night. We'll get in line for, you know, the Flight of Passage. There's no way I think it was like 115 minutes or something like that. We were like, there's no way it was 115 minutes. We got in line and immediately realized, because I'd already been through the line, it was definitely 115 minutes. If you know, unless they had it blocked off somewhere in the queue, you know, I don't know exactly what they would have done, but, you know, they would have had to block it off so that the line looked a lot longer than it was. And I don't know that they did that. So I think it was really 115 minutes. So, you know, we decided, you know what, it's cool. I don't need to ride it right now. So, you know, really, I think that for a first timer or for someone who doesn't go as frequently, I really think the key is spending a full day and at least in each one of the parks. And that way you're getting the best that you can get out of all of the parks. You're not going to see everything, because that's just, unfortunately, Walt Disney World. But you know, that's the best advice that I can give.
Now, that's a good tip, because the thing, like, I think you got to have that in the back of your mind on every Walt Disney World vacation. You're not going to see everything.
No.
See what you can and be happy with the experiences you have. And Janet's backing us up in the chat saying, you know, that she also thinks that they overinflate the wait time sometimes just to make people have to think twice about hopping in that queue,
right,
you know, to kind of control things. And I think that's very true. That happens frequently. Pam, let me ask you this. So, you know, we say that you got to, you know, and this is what you're hearing in the Disney community constantly, is like, you got to see Pandora at night. You know, you got to make it a point. If you go there at Rope Drop, great, because you can get in line for Flights of Passage, short line right there as the park opens. But you want to experience this land at night. So it is beautiful. It's awesome. And especially if you have like white on, or if you wear like our lizard color, man, it pops. I mean,
yes, it does. My brother had on this neon green shirt, and then we went into Pandora and it was like, kapow.
They need to have a race through Pandora, man. We will stand out like nobody's business.
Exactly.
It's so cool, because I had my shoes on that night and they were just like, I felt like I was Michael Jackson in, you know, in Billie Jean or something. It was awesome. But you do got to see it at night. But Pam, I mean, so you have the two attractions, but if you don't have a fast pass for either, you want to see the beauty of it, but it's not like something you're going to invest 4 hours in at night, I don't think, because the land overall is gorgeous. It's stunning. That the waterfalls and the floating mountain and the bioluminescent plants everywhere, it's amazing. I agree, you got to see it. But it's not something I think, at least right now, you want to hang out in there for 3 or 4 hours just because of the crowds. I don't know how it's going to be a year from now, but that's how it is right now. What do you think?
No, but I mean, I think that there's enough to do at Animal Kingdom that you can go there and not feel like you're wasting a weekend. We talked about Rivers of Light. There's also the Tree Awakening, which has four or five different, kind of shows. For lack of a better word, shows that occur on the tree there. And I swear I could like stand there and watch all of them. I enjoy each one of them so much. Being able to do the safari at night is a different experience. And I will say that while it's challenging sometimes because you may not see as many of the animals, last time we were there, we heard the lions roaring to each other, which was incredible. I mean, seriously, you always think you know what a lion sounds like until you actually hear it. Then, whoa, that's what a lion sounds like. So, I mean, you can do that. I also would absolutely not, you know, be upset if I had to eat another meal at Satuli Canteen. I'm just saying, and there's also the little cream cheese egg roll type thing that's available as a snack. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's plenty of things to do that you can certainly justify an evening in Animal Kingdom.
I mean, we've discussed recently, I think Animal Kingdom has some of the best dining, whether it's counter service or table service. I think that they have some of the best dining in the park. So
absolutely,
you're going to find something to eat at this park.
There's a lot of things to do in the evening. There just really are. And, you know, I agree. You can't just go there in the morning or during the day and experience it. You have to be there. And I think that was what Disney was intending when it started with a new Pandora was coming. They started, you know, making some other things available in the evening. They started moving us in that direction. And I think it's just a great thing to see. I think it's really cool to see that park come alive. So I don't think you'll be bored.
No, that's the whole thing is that, you know, in the last, you know, since Animal Kingdom's been around, it's always been something you go in for half a day, you know, a couple, mm-hmm. three times during a week. And that was it. And we didn't, you know, you didn't even have to worry about nighttime. You know, you just went in the morning, you left at lunchtime and, you know, swam and went to one of the other three parks at night. So, I mean, that's the problem I'm having. It's not a problem that Disney has. It's a problem that I have in I'm very set in my ways and I got to think outside the box. And I think that people need to consider these things before they go down. You mentioned Santuli Canteen that it's a great place to eat and there's nothing wrong with having a meal there. Here's the problem. You know, speaking of the big problem word that we have in the title today, I didn't eat at Flame Tree Barbecue, which is one of my favorite places to eat on property because we ate at Santuli Canteen three times. It was that good. And so while it's a great,
cheeseburger
it's a great
pods are life. Let me just tell you,
I think the bowls are
the bowls are awesome too. I can't pick my favorite. Like there's nothing that I have had there that's not good. So no, it's delicious.
Agree. Well, I agree.
What you got to do, though, is if you're in a relationship, you have one person get the cheeseburger pods, the other person get the bowl, and then you split
them. That's what we did. Totally, Brian and I. He got the cheeseburger pods. I got the bowl, and we shared both. That was it. Yeah.
And if you're not in a relationship, find a stranger. You know what?
That's right. Ask random people.
Totally canteen buddy.
Yes. Exactly. Like, are you a cheeseburger pod person or are you a bowl person? Do I need to know? And just snuggle up to them in the queue.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think this is a great thing, though. I mean, we joke about it being a problem, but I when I was there, I hadn't given it as much thought as, you know, the fifth time I was at the Animal Kingdom, I was thinking to myself, I have gone through these touch points at the Animal Kingdom more this trip in the last 10 days than I have in the last 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it's because I wanted to see Flights of Passage. I wanted to see Navi River Journey. I wanted to see Pandora at night. And we did hop out of there sometimes because we'd done everything else a few times on previous days. So I don't know. So you mentioned, Pam, that you got to consider dining and stuff like that. And this is a good thing. So with Rivers of Light dining packages and seeing the Rivers of Light to wrap up the night, I mean, that's another thing. You know, do you sacrifice some of your old standbys for new experiences? What do you do?
It's hard because, like, I really do enjoy the new dining experience at Animal Kingdom, but I will say being able to do Rivers of Light, the dining plan in particular, I think is a good deal and a good use of that kind of dining experience because you don't have to make a fast pass for Rivers of Light. then you can use the dining. And if you're, you know, if you're going to be dining at Tusker House too, there's no reason not to go ahead and reserve it as part of that experience. And you can do Tusker House for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. So right. Let's say you had breakfast at Tusker House that morning, went back to your resort or went to another park, and then we're back there in the evening. You're still able to use that as your entrance as long as you've reserved that particular package. Plus, I really just enjoy Tiffin so much. Mm-hmm. I've eaten there a couple times. Two or three times now. No, probably four. Okay, but anyway.
Can I get five?
A number of times.
But I think it's really worth it. I think they're putting out great food. It's a fantastic experience. Even if you're not going to go and eat a meal there, eating in the lounge is another great opportunity. Like we all said, I mean, Animal Kingdom just has some fantastic dining. So I wish that went over to some of the other parks where I don't think it's as good. But I really enjoy it. And I think seeing Rivers of Light and being able to do the dining plan with it is really the way to go for that.
So are we thinking if we're offering somebody, say, you know, a coworker comes up to us tomorrow Saturday, maybe you work on the weekends on Monday, you know, if you're an office worker or whatever, and they say, you know, we're going out to Walt Disney World, we hear about this Pandora, what's it all about? You know, what should I do? Is it A, make your fast passes 60 days out or as soon as you can, depending on if you're on-site or off-site? And then B, make sure that you're there at least 2 days, one of them in the daytime, one of them at night, one day with Flights of Passage, one day with Navi River Journey. And then maybe that morning that you're there, make sure that you stay and see things like Everest and all the other things, the safari and all the other stuff. I mean, Ricky, what would you tell somebody like in a quick nutshell? We don't want to make this long, but somebody right. asks you like, what do you do? What do you do? You got Rivers of Light. You got all kinds of stuff to consider.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough decision. And, you know, like I said, it depends on how you want to structure your trip. I would at least spend a full day at this point now at Animal Kingdom. That was not something I would have said years ago, at the very least. Maybe even up till 6 months ago, I wouldn't have said that. But you definitely need to have at least a full day at Disney's Animal Kingdom now. And, you know, of course, it's going to depend on what fast passes you get, whether you're going to use the Rivers of Light dining package. I, like Pam, think that's one of the best deals that you can do if you want to see Rivers of Light. I think that the dining package is a must because, you know, you're not burning a fast pass for Rivers of Light then. And you're going to eat anyway. So, you know, I think that that's a, you know, big, big bonus. So I would tell them to consider the Rivers of Light dining package. I would tell them to get the Flight of Passage, the fast pass for that. And I would do that at 60 days out. And, I'd tell them to spend the whole day there because they're going to be able to enjoy a full day at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, it's a different situation. It's a better situation. I mean, Disney mm-hmm. has improved that park so much that it's causing change in crowd patterns. It's causing mm-hmm. change in our habits. Let me offer this. So, okay, say you're offering somebody a chance to go see Pandora at night. You know, they might want to see also Rivers of Light that night. What about this kind of a night where you go and have dinner at Tiffin's, maybe an early dinner, you know, or maybe just mm-hmm. like the time I eat dinner normally, you know, which is early dinner.
4 o'clock.
I eat with the seniors.
Special. Yeah, come exactly. on, let's just be honest. 4 o'clock.
We got to wrap this thing up. I'm hungry. No.
We know.
So, an early dinner. And then, you know, as it gets later in the year now, as fall is setting in, you know, it gets darker earlier. So you get to experience Pandora while it's dark. Maybe combine that with a drink over at the Nomad Lounge, you know, and mm-hmm. do that and then kind of wait out until Rivers of Light. I mean, is that a good night? Maybe throw in a safari in between one of those things, Pam. I mean, is that a good night at Animal Kingdom now?
I think so. I think what you have to move away from and what is challenging to move people away from is that a night show can be more than just fireworks, right? So, of course, at Magic Kingdom and Epcot, we think about the night shows being right. fireworks. Mm-hmm. At Hollywood Studios, we're moving away from that a little bit because although there are some fireworks at the Star Wars fireworks, it's more of a projection show. Mm-hmm. And there's actually very little fireworks when you think about
it. And you've got the new projection show ahead of that too.
Exactly. Yeah. So that, and then Animal Kingdom, throw that in the mix. I think not only do you have Rivers of Light, not only do you have the show at night that is Pandora, if you would consider that a show, but you also have the Tree of Light Awakening. And I think that one type of show is not better than the other. I mean, they're both very interesting, engaging. They're just different. And I think that's the way to consider it.
I think, too, you know, mentioning Rivers of Light, you know, and I'm a very positive person. I don't know, man. I got to get trained on that because I need fireworks. I need stuff blowing up because that was putting me to sleep.
Have you ever seen the Tree of Life show?
Yes.
The Awakenings?
Yeah, I like that. I love that, actually. I think that's really amazing. I don't know. I just think that, like, I'm in a stadium. Like, I'm, like, expecting Fantasmic. I need, like, a dragon. Like, if there's going to be, like, projections, like, fire coming out, you know? Like, I don't know.
There is fire.
There is a little fire, but it's not. I need characters. Like, I need somebody to cheer for. Like, it is very touchy-feely, which I get, and it's got the message of the park. I can almost see Joe Rohde out on one of those floats. Like, I mean, I'm looking for the guy. Like, I get, and I love the message. I mean, because it fits perfectly into Animal Kingdom. I think the problem is Disney has trained me with shows like Wishes, Illuminations over the years that, man, you got to have stuff blowing up and it's exciting. I mean, I go down to Walt Disney World on the 4th of July just because of that, like, 30-second, the ground shaking fireworks, you know, and New Year's Eve and stuff like that. So I don't know. Think about it. Like, I got to see that, and a lot of us got to see that drone show at Disney Springs over Christmas. I mean, there's no fireworks into that, and that blew me away. So, like, I don't know where I fall on this. Like, I like the projections. I like the beauty and the gorgeous. I mean, those floats are gorgeous. I don't know, like, why Rivers of Light did not get me. The drones did. The fireworks do. I don't know. Am I a bad person for not, like, thinking that's, like, top five or what?
But I think the one thing that I think of when I'm sitting there is sit up straight. You don't want to lean back too far. You're going to be in the person's behind
true,
you.
That's true.
And you're like, oh my gosh, please don't let this person scooch back into my lap any.
Right. Don't let them be sweaty because that would be gross.
Right. But I just feel like that show more than anything else at Walt Disney World, I feel like I'm super close to everyone around me. Like I just feel like I know they were trying to fit in a lot of folks and I appreciate that, but you feel very close to the row in front of you.
You
I would like a little bit of personal space in this, but I mean, maybe, you know what? Maybe it's better to, like, if you're with a group, kind of stack yourselves different rows. So at least you're there with people that you know. I know that's a big American thing, but that's, I mean, we are who we are.
We are.
Right?
No, that right. Yeah, you know, I think though about Rivers of Light, here's what I like is that I see a lot of people who are passionately loving the show. Like, that is their thing. And this is what I love about Walt Disney World in general is that I say this quite frequently on the show, you know, different strokes for different folks. You know, I don't need to like everything, and I'm 100% fine with that because, you know, not everybody else is going to hop up on the Astro Orbiter and think it's awesome. You know, I've discovered that in the last few years. Mallory and I, that's our thing, man. We love it, even though we did notice on this past trip. We looked down at My Disney Experience one time. It was one of the top three longest wait times on property when we looked. I'm like, Astro Orbiter, what is going on? And it was always up pretty high on the wait time. So, I don't know. Maybe people are wanting to be spun around in Tomorrowland. Who knows? But who'd have thought? You know, but I think that that's fine. I don't have to say. I think that's the pressure of podcasts and Twitter and Facebook. It's that, you know, I feel like I almost feel guilty for not loving Rivers of Light, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
it's not
it.
My thing. Like, Illuminations is my thing. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, bore me. You know, the globe comes out. I got to take out my phone and see what's going on Facebook. I don't have a problem with that. You know what? More for me. You know what? As you're looking down, I can watch. Just get out of my way. You know, so I don't know. I just think that there's room for everything. And who knows? Like, one of those Rivers of Light could be like a fine wine that I enjoy it more as time goes on. I don't know how long it's going to be around from some of the rumors I'm hearing, but I better start accelerating that wine better
yeah,
start
right?
aging quicker from what I'm hearing. But I don't know. I just think Animal Kingdom, you do have to rethink things. And we mentioned Flights of Passage, so we kind of reviewed that already. But Pam, give some thoughts on, you know, how best to make that fit into your schedule and what to expect. And, you know, do you rank this? Is this something, is it a top 10 attraction, top 5, top 3? I mean, what do you think?
For me, it is. It is in the top 10, I would say. And it doesn't hit that nostalgia button like some do, but the kind of experience that you're having is so immersive. And I mentioned this one other time, but there are so many attractions that Disney always hypes up and says, it will be just like you're on a hand glider, like in Soarin', right? That's what they always say. And I always think, oh, Well, I mean, I can see how it's kind of like being hand gliding.
Right. Don't it's really kind of, but
steroids.
Not terrifying at all.
Right.
And hand gliding would be.
Yes, that's true.
This felt like I was riding on a banshee. I bought into it the whole way. And I really appreciated, you know, I was really worried about my becoming motion sick on this attraction because it was a, you know, it has a screen and whatnot, but it really is Soarin' that is plused in my opinion. And the thing I also love about it is depending on where you're sitting left to right and where you're sitting in terms of the different levels, you really do notice very different things in the movie. Not the movie, the experience, right? When we were sitting very close, when they were in the caves, you really you sort of focused in on that. And it felt very cool. And then the second time I wrote it, I was like, well, where were those caves that time? Like, I hardly remembered seeing all the bottom of the cave and how it, you know, all the different colors kind of filled the screen. So again, I love it. I love the technology they're using. I think the queue is actually one of the better queues in Walt Disney World, period, end of story. If I wouldn't be sad about having to wait in that queue. Now, I don't know that I'd do it for 2 hours or 3 hours.
No,
but an hour and a half, I might do it. So, you know, that's my take on it.
Pam, are the restrooms in the Flights of Passage queued, or do you know? They have signs out there as you get in, you know,
yeah, no restrooms.
No.
Go to the bathroom before. Yeah.
Make sure you visit the pee-pee station before you get in line. That's pretty much telling you. So you real quick. So let's wrap it up on this question, because this is a question I think that we needed. You know, Laura's asking, Laura Root Parsons in the chat, asking, I'm only going to the Animal Kingdom for one day. Should I wait in line for the Pandora attractions? Yes or no? Ricky, what do you tell her?
Okay, well, this is tough. I'm going to say, yes, you should wait in line for Flight of Passage. I think that's definite. You know, unless it's like 3 hours, and then I'd say, you know, 2 to 3 hours, I think that's a little much. But, you know, if it's anywhere between, you know, like Pam said, I think 90 minutes is probably my breaking point for it at this point with how, you know, with how popular it is and everything like that. I think 90 minutes, and like she said, it is one of the better queues. So I think that you're going to be able to notice a lot of things in line while you're waiting. So I think that there's a lot to see. With that being said, for Navi River Journey, I am going to tell you that if that is more than an hour, I don't think you should wait in line for it. You know, Navi River Journey is great. It's very beautiful. There is not a story, and it's just a lot of pretty. So I think that you know, a lot of people equate it to It's a Small World with, you know, blue people. I don't even think that it's there. I think that It's a Small World is a little better. So just keep that in mind too. So that's my thought. Like you said, Mike, you know, your thought of you, if you hate something or you don't like have a strong love for it, you know, especially in the, you know, Disney community on Twitter or anything like that, then oh my gosh, it's the worst thing ever. But seriously, you know, I just have to be honest and say, you know, I wouldn't wait more than an hour for Navi River Journey. So
yeah, see, I, you know, and this is where I love that people like different stuff. I enjoyed the Navi River Journey better than Flights of Passage. I know, because the second time it made me feel a little ill, actually, for the rest of the day. And I think it wasn't because the first time I was fine. The second time it was really hot. I don't think I had eaten. Yeah, I'd eaten too much. You know, it's one of those things. Yeah. It was at the end of the trip. You know, we'd been there for 2 weeks. I mean, I ended up in the hospital 4 days after I got home. You know, like, I mean, I was probably.
You might
on my
have already
way
been getting
exactly.
sick. Let's just be
the
perfectly
bug,
honest.
The yeah. bug was yeah. in me, I think. So yeah. That could have been. But I mean, Scott felt the same, too. We had the discussion. So I don't know. You know, you're right. Navi River Journey has no story. I was like, okay, you know, where's my. Because I, you know, I taught English in elementary school. I taught reading so many times. You got to have your narrative elements. You know, you got to have your characters. You got to have your plot, your setting, your theme. Okay, where's the beginning, middle, and end? You don't know. It was just like. It was awesome, though. It's just like, whoa. You
I
know,
mean,
this
it's
is cool.
visually gorgeous. Don't exactly. get me wrong. And I love the leapfrog.
Yes, that
thing,
was awesome.
That is cool. I have to say, that's cool. It's not cool enough to wait more than an hour for, but it's cool. It's cool.
I would say, you know, if you're there, go ahead and do it. Because no regrets. You know, don't go home. Well, but yeah. Again, everything at Walt Disney World is a if I wait 2 hours, 2.5 hours for flights of passage, that's 2.5, 3 hours that I'm not going to have someplace else to have some other experience. You got to think about that. But this is the new hot thing. You probably want to be able to say you've done it and be able to chime in on the conversations if you're involved in the Disney community, which you probably are. I don't know. Let's wrap this up, Pam, because I don't want to go too long on this because I think we've had a fun discussion about it. And I think it will lead to more discussion over the weekend on our Facebook page. But, you know, final words as far as how this is changing our perception of Animal Kingdom and how this is changing our overall Walt Disney World vacation plans.
I think it's a great indication of what Disney does so well, and that is to take feedback that they're getting from guests who are there and adapting to that feedback. So Disney for a long time was kind of struggling with the fact that Animal Kingdom, lots of people thought was a half day park, blah, 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 or people would complain that it was only a half day park or whatever. Disney took that and responded to it. And that's what Disney does so well, is that they just take the feedback from guests. It takes them a while to do it. It can't be instantaneous, but they take the feedback. They kind of put it all in one big conglomeration and kind of look for trends. Like, what do people feel about this? Right. And what are we seeing here? And then they adapt to it and make it something that we want to do. Now people, I mean, rarely would go to the, you know, if you hadn't been at Animal Kingdom at opening, you weren't going there partway through the day because you felt like it was a waste of that day. Mm-hmm. Well, now people are doing that. So that's changed the way we behave. And that's what they've done in a very nice way. They aren't making you change. They're not like, we will change the way you behave.
But with the addition of hours past 5 o'clock, it makes that possible, you know. Yes, whereas before, really that wasn't even a possibility. You know, if it was park closed at 5, I mean, yeah, you're right. I'm not going there at noon and, you know, spending 5 hours there. That was
exactly silly. Exactly. Yeah. So they've really changed to meet guest needs, guest desires, guest feedback. And I think oftentimes, especially in the Disney community, I'll put this out there, Disney gets lots of criticism, but they rarely get like the, you know what, we've been asking for this and you did it. So awesome, right? No, when those things happen, they come and go with rarely a remark. So I think that they need to get credit where credit's due.
No, I agree. I mean, this is a problem for us that are old curmudgeons like me that are stuck like, okay, this is what we've always done. You know, I don't have to think.
Then eat dinner at 4 o'clock.
Well, no, yeah, well, that too. But I mean, I think the problem is that, you know, like, it's like anything in life. You know, you get very comfortable with your job. You know, how you do your job. You get comfortable with, you know, your daily routines. You know, I get up, I run, I take a shower, I have breakfast. You know, I mean, if I had to change that stuff up for some reason, I'm not good with change. You know, I'm not great with that. So I had to change a lot of things on this past trip, which was for the better because I had more options for dining that were really good. I had more options for attractions, you know, top rate e-ticket attractions. I had more, which is what we're always screaming for. Disney, give us more, give us better. We had it. So I just want people to think it's not a problem. It's a good problem. What I like to say, you know, a lot of times we have problems, but they're good problems to have. You know, like, oh, well, what am I going to do with this? You know, well, it's a good problem to have. So I think that's what this is. And I think it's something that you need to think about before your next vacation so you can make it awesome. So real quick, before we wrap up today's show, wanted to mention a couple things we teased before we start recording here on Facebook. Disney's coming out with this cool thing called PhotoPass Day. It's August 19th. I think this is genius on Disney's part because it's not really costing them anything extra. What they're doing is they're pulling out all the stuff people love about PhotoPass on one day and exposing people to it and giving you an opportunity to not roll the dice and maybe this will happen at this location, maybe this will not happen. They're bringing out extra characters at all four of the theme parks as well as Disney Springs, but they're also like telling you, okay, at Epcot we're gonna have the fisheye lens, which we got a picture with that the last trip, and I had no idea what this dude was doing, but we were all standing in front of Spaceship Earth and he gets like right up on Mallory's nose with that camera. I'm like, like, we're walking away, I'm like, what was that last shot all about? Like, why were you so close to like my daughter's nose? He's like, it's a fisheye lens, dude. It's going to look awesome. And so I looked down later, and it was such a cool picture. So, you know, they're doing stuff like that with backdrops for that Disney Channel. They have that princess empowerment kind of program, you know, so you'll see stuff like that. Ricky, I mean, this genius, right? I mean, because it's not costing Disney anything extra, and it's kind of what people want, and it gives them a chance to not just take a chance on it. They can go and make it happen August 19th.
I mean, absolutely. You know, I think it's great that they're bringing out characters that aren't seen as often, which is nice. You know, that's a really big thing, especially because the character greetings are something, especially for like the character collectors, they love to get the chance to do is to meet, you know, some of the characters that they, you know, don't normally get to meet. So I think that that's really cool. And I think that what this does is it maybe gives people a taste of what PhotoPass offers, you know, and I feel like they should maybe do this maybe a little more often, you know, maybe once a quarter, just to kind of give people, you know, because not everybody is going to be there, you know, not everybody booked a trip for PhotoPass Day. It's something that maybe...
If this show comes out, it's August 11th. I mean, this is happening in a week, you know, so
right.
It's only
exactly.
People that are
gonna be there. So I think that that would be good. And kind of one of the nice things that they're doing, and I know that they do this normally, but, you know, say you don't have PhotoPass, but you are going for PhotoPass Day and you want to experience PhotoPass Day with all its glory, you can get a Memory Maker 1 day option for $59. And that is something that you can do, you know, normally. So I don't know that a lot of people know that, but you can actually do a 1 day Memory Maker and only pay $59. Now, I think that it's a better deal if, you know, you're going to be there for a longer period of time to get the full Memory Maker. But, you know, say you want to have just 1 day of photos, this is at least an option for you, too.
All right. So let's close the show out. Ricky, we passed a big number for the 12-hour live show. You know, we continued to take donations. The auction items were kind of wrapping up and people were putting in their bids into the pot there. We also had some people who hadn't had a chance to listen live, heard some of the information over the show over the last week or so. So give an update and then we'll get out of here and let everybody have a great weekend.
So as of today, we have officially raised over $30,000 for Give Kids the World. Awesome. So thank you to everybody who donated. It is amazing. I am speechless. So thank you, everyone. And, you know, I'm going to put the plug out there. If you haven't donated, you still can. So the link is still live on the Be Our Guest podcast page. So if you are thinking, oh man, I should have donated and now I can't. No, you still can. I promise you it's going to be up there for a little bit. So, you know, you can still make a donation if you still would like to. And yeah, I can't believe it. $30,000. It's just incredible. It's so amazing.
It is.
So amazing.
So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And don't forget, you know, now we're focusing our energy on becoming Hoosiers. We're heading to Indiana. That's right.
That's right. Yes.
We're going to be out at the Hamilton County Fairgrounds for the Indy Disney Meet on Saturday, August 26th. So if you're in the Midwest, I think it goes from noon to 7. Grab yourself a dish at the local Publix or Schnucks or whatever you have, Kroger's, I don't care, whatever grocery store. We have it's like a big family gathering. You know what? Everybody brings stuff. Some people order pizzas. There's desserts. Man, you eat good at this thing. It was my first one last year, and it was all, I just kept eating. I just kept doing laps around the place and just like, okay, I'll have a little piece of pizza this time, I'll have a cookie this time. It was amazing. So free Dole Whips, Yeehaw Bob's going to be there. We're going to be there broadcasting live. A lot of other podcasters, lots of folks from the Disney community going to be there. So make your plans. It's not too late. You know, you got a couple weeks and it's an easy trip. Like we're in St. Louis, 4-hour drive, a lot of fun. Just have a good time. And it's all for Give Kids the World. It's an amazing event. They've been doing this for years. We're lucky to be a part of it. So please do join us August 26th at the Hamilton County Fairgrounds in Fishers, Indiana, which is just north, I believe, of Indianapolis. It's a suburb of Indy. So Indianapolis. So, join us, and there's this webpage, so Indy Disney Meet. Just check it out on Facebook for all the details. All right, well, it's time to get out of here. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. The next time you're headed to a Disney destination in the fall, in the winter, great time. You know, 2017 isn't over. Let's get you down there. Food and Wine Festival, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. You got the Christmas party coming up soon. The Halloween party, though, starts in, what, like 2.5 weeks?
Oh, the Halloween party starts, like the end of the month. And so does Epcot Food and Wine, too.
Food and Wine starts at the end of August.
Exactly.
I was just doing calculations in my mind. That's like not even 3 weeks away at this point.
That's ridiculously awesome and sick all at once.
That's so true.
I'm not ready!
You know what? There's still rooms available. There's still packages to be had. There's even some discounts to be had. So drop by themagicforless.com. Fill out that free, no obligation vacation quote and just see, you know what? It's a great time to visit. There's a lot of good things going on in the fall and winter down at Walt Disney World. So check them out over at themagicforless.com. Please do our Amazon, use our Amazon link when you do that back to school shopping. I know the folks on the East Coast just now starting to think about going back to school. Folks here in the Midwest, hey, happy end of the first quarter. School's already going on. No, it's almost time for progress reports. But when you're doing your online back to school shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Really does help the show. Anytime you do some shopping online, again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at brguestmike. And join us on our Facebook group. We have tons of fun here, and we're using it more and more every day for video and for just building community. Ricky's moved the Mouse Bites over to the podcast page, and a great time this past Sunday checking that out. We've got daily shows many days on the Facebook page as well. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right. All that said, let's get out of here. Let's have an amazing weekend. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wish you an awesome weekend, but whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.